Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me as we continue a message I've entitled Conquering Canaan. And we began this week to look at the traits or characteristics that we as Christians should have in our lives in order to walk in the victory that God has promised us. We look to the Word of God and we see their examples for our instruction, our admonition, our encouragement. And frequently we look back at the Old Testament and we see how God dealt with His people there. And what we've been looking at this week is how God dealt with the generation that succeeded Moses. In the opening chapter of Joshua, we see that God spoke to Joshua. He said, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, Joshua, you arise, you and this people, and go in and possess the land that I have given you." It was present tense, not future, not that I will give you, but that I have given you. He gave it years before, but that older generation who were destined by the Lord because of the disobedience and unbelief to die in the wilderness, only Joshua and Caleb of that generation were able to enter in. And we have been looking at the necessary qualities that you and I have to have in order to walk in overcoming victory. We hear it all the time. Oh, we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. We overcome by the word of the Lamb, by the blood of the Lamb, and the word of our testimony. And that is true. The fact that many Christians aren't experiencing that in their lives, beloved, there's always a reason. It is not just hearing the word of God, but it is doing it. And because we are the way we are, we need to hear the word of the Lord over and over and over and over and over and over again until we finally get it. We tend to be a little slow in hearing. We can hear things and sometimes we deceive ourselves. To me, that's one of the scariest things, because if you're deceived, guess what? You don't even know you're deceived. That's why we have to pray and ask the Lord not to let us enter into falsehood, into deception. If we will walk close to the Holy Spirit, He's not going to let that happen. So we don't have to be fearful. We don't have to be afraid. But if we want to possess our good land, just as Israel had a land promised to them, flowing with milk and honey, everything that they could desire, so much better than Egypt. They hadn't entered there, but they were dreaming about, you know, as a slave, the garlic and the leeks and the onions. But God desires not only for us to have, as I shared, the first two aspects or traits, a conquering spirit, a bold spirit, a burning desire for the presence of God, to obey God, to love Him. The third trait I'd like to share with you is a sonship mentality. How important this is. As we look back to the people of Israel, they had been in bondage for 400 plus years. And what are the characteristics of a slave mentality? Well, think about it. A slave historically exists only to meet the needs of others. And of course, the value of any individual slave would depend upon their performance. If they were young and strong, they would certainly be of more value on the slave market than someone who was advanced in years and didn't have the energy, didn't have the physical stamina or strength to perform a job. And then, of course, the slave's position in a household was dependent on their behavior. Were they teachable? Were they agreeable? Were they obedient? All the, you know, their demeanor, how they behaved themselves, how they performed, all this was important. And of course, no matter how much a slave tried to please a master, there's still basically no basis for relationship. There is that of the master of the household, and there is that of the slave, and never the twain shall meet. Yeah, I'm speaking now humanly and in terms of the natural. However, God has not called us slaves or servants. In a sense, we're bond slaves to Jesus, but that is a love relationship that is the most blessed, the most privileged of that of any place, any position in the universe, because we are the most precious children of God. And he has called us as his children. And what are the characteristics, if you will, of a son mentality? Well, there's an emphasis upon his or her relationship with the Father. And we can learn something as we look in the New Testament. We turn to the Gospel of Luke, and in that 11th chapter, Jesus speaks to his disciples. He was talking about everyone that asks will receive, everyone that seeks finds. And that 11th verse of the 11th chapter, he says, "If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion?" And of course, the answer is, of course not. And he goes on to say, Jesus says, "If ye then, being evil," and God is good, but if we are evil intrinsically and know how to give good gifts unto our children, unto your children, because we love him, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And if we have the Holy Spirit, beloved, that is all that we need. We have all the wisdom, the help, the strength, the comfort. When the Holy Spirit was given on the day of Pentecost, he was our teacher, our counselor, our instructor to everyone that believes. As when we accept Jesus, he comes to dwell in our spirit, and yet there is yet even a further empowering, the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, where there is the ability to live the victorious Christian life. And so God is wanting to emphasize that you have to understand you are his child and he is your father. And of course, the son mentality, if you will, emphasizes the fact that we are individuals. We are a person. And that God, just as a natural parent would desire their child only good, that they would be all that they could possibly be, that they would experience success, that they would be blessed, that they would have all manner of good things in their lives. That's exactly what God desires for your life. He wants you to walk in joy. And I'm not saying happiness, because happiness is being is an emotion that is a result of having what you want, material, natural things around you. But there is a joy that, of course, comes through the blessings of God, but also that is independent of your natural circumstances. And also, what is the purpose of an heir? They are to take on responsibilities. When in days of old, when a patriarch would be prepared to join his fathers to die, there would be the right of sonship, the double portion that was given to the oldest heir, the oldest son, and they were to take on the responsibilities of the family. And beloved, we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. So as a result, God is wanting us to mature in the knowledge and wisdom of Jesus, and we're to take on the responsibilities of the kingdom. Beloved, you and I are no longer slaves. Romans 8 and 5 says, "We've not received the spirit of slavery or bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy, Father." We are his children. The Israelites left Egypt, but you know, we can see in their mentality and their behavior, they still thought like slaves. And Christians can basically be in the same condition, though they've been saved. Some have become sons, but some still think like slaves. John 1 and 12 says, but as many as received him, in other words, became saved, became a new creature, became born again, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The types and shadows that we see outlined in the Old Testament are to bring us into a revelation of what God has for us now in our lives. Egypt was a type of sin or the world. And before Moses dies, he leaves the people in Shittim. And Shittim is a type or representation, if you will, of the flesh or carnal nature. And what happened? Joshua came to Shittim and he brought Israel into the promised land. How did he do that? He brought them through the Jordan River. That symbolizes the spirit of man. And there was a miracle that took place. As soon as the priests who were carrying the Ark of God on their shoulders put their feet into the Jordan, which was overflowing at that time of year, it was the most impossible time of all the year in which to pass, it was dried up, just as the Red Sea was dried up for that generation which preceded them. And that name Joshua, the original Hebrew, means Yeshua or Savior. And in Numbers, Joshua's name was Hoshea, but because he found favor with God, God made a covenant with him and put his name Yah into Hoshea. Thus we have Yah Hoshea or Joshua, who is a type of Jesus. And so, beloved, we have so much to learn from this important time when God's people were to inherit their promised land. We, as new covenant believers, can enter into those exceeding great and precious promises for our lives if we will heed the lessons, the characteristics, the mentality, the attributes, the traits that we are also to possess. Well, I hardly got in. There's so much more I want to share, and I invite you to tune in next week as we continue on in this message, Conquering Canaan. And I just thank you for joining me. I want you to know, beloved UCM partners, I pray for you every day. And radio family, even those of you who have never written, I pray for you faithfully every day, asking for God's best, his blessings in your life, to rebuke the work of the enemy. And if you need someone to take a hold of your hand in the spirit, I'm here for you. I invite you to write, share your mailing address. The announcer will give that contact information. And until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.